Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 673, Sheila Bair, former FDIC chair.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
We're learning from history today, everybody. Welcome to the show, January 3rd, 2018. I am your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Sheila Bair is our very special guest today, former FDIC chair, named Forbes' second most powerful woman in the world at one point. Her agency steered us through the financial crisis of 2008, if you recall. If you read any headlines, any stories during that time frame, you probably came across Sheila Bair's name. She received numerous awards and recognition for her work. She's had a distinguished career in government, academia, as well as financial roles. Her work has been published in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and countless other places. Sheila and I catch up. You know, we were in touch during the crisis. I often would call her desk to learn about what was going on, get some updates, fact check, do some reporting. She was always available for my questions. And so I jumped at the opportunity to interview her. as we embark on a new year. What has history taught her as she looks to where the markets are headed, how the economy is doing? Could we see a recurrence of the calamities of 2008 and 2009? Sheila's newest obsession is retirement, and she has partnered with robo-advisor Bloom with three O's. It's a robo-advisor for your 401k. How does it work? How is it special? She gives us the details and also her financial stories, you know, how she was raised as a middle-class child, the daughter of hardworking parents, how she is raising her own children from a financial standpoint, her money mindset, and so much more. Here is the lovely Sheila Bair. Sheila Bair, welcome to So Money. It's been a while.
It has been, Farnoosh. It's nice to hear your voice.
It's so nice to hear your voice and to be on the other side of things. The last time I think we connected was during the financial crisis, 2008, 2009. What a time. And of course, you were at the helm of the FDIC for 5 years during that those crazy, crazy years. Are you glad to be on the other side of things?
Yeah, I am. It was a great experience, a challenging experience. I love the FDIC, but it's nice to have a more control over my schedule, more time with my family. So my life is good right now.
Well, that's good to hear. And I know you have a lot of exciting projects underway. We want to get to talking about Bloom, which is a robo-advisor for 401ks. Really an interesting concept there. I know robo-advisories are all the rage right now, but to marry that with 401k management is a new concept. But, you know, Sheila, I can't help but go back down memory lane a little bit with you because it was such a tumultuous time, the financial recession. And to your credit, you are really credited for being a straight shooter during that time and really holding banks accountable more than I think they wanted to be held accountable. You are quoted in the Times as saying, you know what, Bear Stearns should have been allowed to fail. How did you feel your role was perceived and taken during that time? I mean, do you feel like you were able to make a difference? By the way, you called it. You know, you really sensed that there was this tsunami approaching. Do you feel like you, as a female too, you know, in a very big, prominent role, felt like you were respected and that your opinions counted?
Right. Well, it's a good question, especially now with everything that's been going on now. And we really are having a cultural awakening about some of the attitudes towards women that have really made life uncomfortable for a lot of us and impeded our progress in many ways. So, you know, I think we made a difference. I think we made a huge difference. I think some audiences were more receptive than others. Some of my fellow regulators were more willing to listen to my perspective and exchange views and try to find a path forward. Others just didn't want to hear it. But overall, I think we did make a difference, but we had to stay at it. I had to stay at it. I had to resort sometimes to public advocacy, and I know that didn't make me popular always with some of my fellow regulators, but, you know, there was a huge problem here with the foreclosure crisis, the impact it was having on the housing market, which had created this downward spiral in home prices. It was hurting everybody. And so I did resort to public advocacy at times and public pressure, but we got some results. We didn't get everything I wanted, for sure. But I do think there's several hundred thousand families who are still in their homes because of our efforts. I wish it was, you know, more in the millions, but we did make an impact, and I am proud of that. And, you know, you can't sometimes you suspect it's gender. Who knows? People just have biases. Sometimes there's just a whole lot of reasons why people don't want to listen to you or want to try to marginalize you. But we just kept pressing forward and always did our homework and always mustered our arguments. And so I think we did have a good impact on, and it, as I said, helped a lot of families.
You have really good instincts. As I said, you know, you have been credited for almost seeing the handwriting on the wall to some extent. With regards to the mortgage crisis and the subprime loan debacle, do you see a calamity of that scale, that financial calamity of that scale happening again in our lifetime? And if so, where should we be running away from right now?
Yeah, well, I certainly hope not. I think the large banks are more resilient. They have higher capital levels, but now we're seeing a trend, the current administration, I think, and I strongly disagree with this, but I think the current administration feels that overregulation of banks has held back the economy. The data just don't back that up. But so we're seeing a trend towards deregulation now in a way that I think could be quite destabilizing. I think monetary policy has a role in this as well. There's just too much investment money chasing too few opportunities for meaningful investment. And so you get asset bubbles, you get inflated valuations and everything from, stocks and bonds to currency to Bitcoin. So I think that is something that hunt for yield was a dynamic we saw prior to the crisis. We're certainly seeing it again. One thing that makes me a little less fearful about what the consequences could be when those bubbles start popping is that most of this is concentrated in financial assets that are owned by wealthier people. So the bad news is the recovery has been tilted towards the wealthy because the main benefits have been to increase valuations of stocks and bonds, and those are mostly owned, not exclusively, but predominantly owned by wealthier people. But if those markets turn, those wealthier families can better absorb the cycle and the temporary loss. Whereas with the housing crisis, this helped low and middle low income families. Their house was all they had, and it really hit them. It hit consumer spending hard. So the recessionary impact, hopefully, in the next downturn won't be as severe. But all bets could be off if we deregulate the banks, we let them take a lot of leverage on again. When the next downturn comes, the losses, everybody has losses in a downturn. You get increases in loan defaults, and if they don't have enough capital to absorb those losses, they're going to get in trouble again, and they're hurt the economy, not help it. So now is absolutely the wrong time to be deregulating, but I'm not sure that's the prevailing view in Washington right now.
So much potentially to change in the next year, in this current year, 2018, with tax codes. And I read somewhere too that there was at one point a thought about reducing your 401k contribution limit. And I'm like, come on, we're already not retiring with enough money in the bank. Which brings us to your newest obsession, Sheila, which is Bloom with three O's, bloom.com. As I understand it, it's a website, a platform, financial advisory automated that allows you to make your 401k more efficient, managed to your benefit so that you're actually maybe reducing fees, invested properly. I think a big problem is we open up these 401ks at work and then we don't know what to do with them. Tell us a little about Bloom and why you're focusing a lot of your energy now on the retirement question.
Yeah, I mean, I think technology generally has a huge potential to lower, to improve the cost and financial and services that are provided to middle-income families. And this is, it's really particularly helpful for young people just starting off with their 401ks or middle income families that have, started building their 401k balance, but don't have a huge amount. I mean, the big firms for the most part in the past have been interested in, the wealthier, retirees and not so much with those mid-level retirement savings accounts. So Bloom really is a very cost-effective way to give them some professional advice. I use it for my they use it for both 403Bs as well as 401Ks. It's $10 a month. And basically what they'll do is make sure that your asset allocation, your distribution of, large and small and mid-cap stocks and bonds is appropriately balanced given what your horizon is in terms of when you want to, as they say, smash your alarm clock and start pulling money out of your retirement account. So they do that for you. They make sure your asset allocation is correct, given your time horizon. But they also go in there and make sure you're in the lowest fee fund, which in itself can save you a lot of money because there's a big difference in the fees. Even with the passive funds, the index funds, which tend to be lower cost, there can be a big difference in the fees that are charged. So those are two very simple things that they do, and they just do it automatically for you. And, over time, they don't try to pick big performing funds. They just try to pick the ones, the efficient funds, because I think, performance is very, very past, past performance is never a guarantee of future results. But what they do is in time-honored way of improving your returns by just consistently rebalancing. Because what happens over time, the assets that you have, the investments that you have that are increasing in value, you sell a bit of those to rebalance, which is a good time to sell. And then you buy the ones that have not been performing so well, which is a good time to buy. And over time, you can really improve your returns. And it takes the emotion out of it, too. So a lot of people are tempted to buy and sell exactly the wrong time, right? So when the market goes down, they want to sell because they get scared. And that's absolutely the wrong time. So when the market's so lofty, they want to buy or they think that's the right time to buy. It's not. It's just the reverse. So this takes the emotion out of it, just gives you a standardized, automated way of making sure you're appropriately balanced and you're in the lowest cost funds.
So was I naive to think that your 401k manager, the plan provider, was a resource to be able to basically leverage their financial advisors?
Well, I would leave that to your listeners as, you know, how much help they get from their 401k manager. I think some employers are better than others in terms of arranging those kinds of services. The manager may also have an interest in the fund choices that are being offered. So that's another thing I like about Bloom. They're completely independent. They have no affiliation with anybody who offers a fund. They're completely neutral. They don't have any financial interest in where you invest. They just want to get you in the lowest cost. So, yeah, I mean, I don't say, you know, absolutely those other services can be good. If people use them, if they're available, but then that involves picking up the phone and talking and asking questions and maybe getting a call back or not getting a call back, getting into an automated system. It varies. So I think, you know, this is just an extra tool that people, should be aware of. It for some, it may be right. For some, it may not be right. But for those who kind of want to set it and forget it, but also make sure that their asset allocation stays appropriate to where they are. Their stage in life. I think this is a very good tool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually also love the video that they made, the founders. I don't know if those were actors or the real founders, but the video is quite entertaining. I suggest everybody go to Bloom. That's 3os.com. So Sheila, it's the new year. What's your financial resolution? Do you make them for yourself and for your family every year? Do you have goals you want to achieve?
Yes, we do. And they're typically, around health and doing charitable things. I think, we have, in terms of money, I'm proud to say my whole family, we're good savers. We're all good savers. Both of my kids, we kind of have a takeout 10 rule in our house. So we always give the kids extra amounts out of their allowance just that automatically goes into a savings account. And so I think those kinds of skills have been learned well by our kids, and I'm very proud of them. They both have got good savings cushions built already at a very young stage in life. But we have a charitable interest too. You know, my daughter is from China. I don't know if you knew that, but we've stayed involved with her orphanage. We adopted her when she was about one. And have helped raise money since then to build a couple of playgrounds at that orphanage. Most of the children of that orphanage now are disabled. And so we raised some funds to build some accessible playgrounds. And we're actually starting a new project now in a different district in China because we were just happy and pleased with this facility in Hunan, Hunan. So that's going to be a big priority for us in 2018. And all just being kind to others and each other and staying healthy, not eating too much, exercising a lot. Those are kind of basic.
Yeah. Help as well. Right.
Exactly.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy, you want a bra that's comfortable, you can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
I believe that you are a family of savers, as someone who has worked as the head of the FDIC and as a regulator. What gives you your discipline, Sheila? I know that your background is in, your parents were both very hardworking. You've described your economic background as upper middle class. What was it about your upbringing, perhaps, that gave you this very conservative and measured take on money in your personal and also, I think, in the way that you conduct business? At the time when you were running the FDIC, you were very, very, some would say, conservative, but in a good way, because, you know, things were going out of control.
Well, you know, I think my parents were both products of the Depression, and they were very frugal people. They actually never borrowed at all. They didn't even borrow to buy a house. They saved the cash and then bought. So I grew up with that kind of mentality. And I think that's, during the Depression, you literally, both of them were in very poverty-stricken families, and literally they, some days they didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. So that has a big psychological impact, which I think they passed on in a positive way to me and my sister. So that said, I did have my profligate period. I think after I graduated from college and law school and got my first job, I was so giddy with a paycheck. I got my first credit card and quickly got myself into trouble with that. Then I got another credit card and got myself into trouble with that. So ever since then, I tore them all up. And I've only had one credit card since then. I've stuck with a policy, and perhaps that was a good thing to have happen to me early on in my career when I didn't have a family or anybody relying on me financially to learn the hard way about not borrowing more on that. That credit card makes it so easy too, not borrowing more than I can pay off at the end of the month.
So you went on a bit of a credit bender.
I sure did. Yeah. And silly things too, clothes and you know whatnot. So wants, not needs, as we say in financial education courses. So I did learn early, and I, you know, it saddens me now because I think we have become such a debt-driven economy. And you're seeing it again, you know, mortgage debt is still below its pre-crisis levels, but pretty much every other area of consumer debt is above where it was pre-crisis. And we had high debt levels then, and student debt has really exploded. It just breaks my heart the way we're loading these kids up with debt. It's a huge financial burden for them as they graduate from school and inner life. And, you know, I really wish we could find a better way to finance college education, because this student loan debacle has it's bad for taxpayers, and it's bad for students, and it's bad for the economy, because these kids are making big student loan payments every month instead of, you know, spending on other, you know, goods and services that might help the economy. And they're not saving as much either. So they're not building a retirement nest egg early, which is also important.
We have student loan debt, we have just overall debt, you know, credit cards and whatnot. And then you have people not saving enough, not just for today, but for their futures. Cost of living is going up, wages have been stagnant. I mean, if you were back in the public sector, Sheila, what would be your priority in terms of whipping this economy back into shape? And not just, you know, the economy at large, but household financial stability.
Yeah. Well, I do think we need to become less reliant on debt. And the way you do that is to generate real wage growth. We've had, you know, real wage growth has been pretty moribund for the last several decades. And when you get that dynamic, then people borrow to improve their standard of living because their wages aren't, real wages aren't increasing. So there's not been as good of a focus as there should be on working families and, you know, improving their economic financial situation and their ability to spend and save. And I regret, I thought this tax reform bill would be an opportunity to do that, but that's clearly not going to be the case. It's, if anything, we seem to want to penalize people who work, who have a wage income versus other types of income, like investment income or business ownership. So I would focus on that. I think the tax code, we need to broaden the base. I think we do need to think about, you know, we're taxing the income of workers. If you know, the wage payroll taxes are about 30% of the budget now. People don't realize that when they talk about taxes, but that really hits middle and lower income families the most. The corporate base is shrinking. We keep giving, opening up new loopholes for the very wealthy, which means that, you know, you're really hitting the middle and upper middle income working cohort of our economy, which is just stupid because they are the drivers of economic growth. They are the ones that spend money and consume and drive our economy. So I think, you know, broadening the base, having some type of maybe tax on very broad based tax on goods and services with a refundable credit for lower income people to make sure it doesn't hit the low income folks would be a better way probably to capture some level of business profits, but in a way that could be very broadly spread out and much easier to collect than trying to tax income, which, as we've seen, is extremely easy to game, especially with multinationals, because they can so easily move their business operations around. So I'd focus on that. I would focus on infrastructure spending. I think that I would focus on education. We've got the worst of both worlds now with our education system. Extremely high levels of student debt. You know, student debt has doubled over the last 10 years, but the percentage of high school students actually going on to college has remained flat. So I don't really know what we're getting for all this debt. We need to find a new way to finance education, and we need to find a new way to hold schools accountable for student outcomes. So the students learn something, they graduate, they find a job. That's why the government is supporting higher education. Those are the areas I would be focusing on. And then healthcare, not my level of expertise. It's a real quagmire, but I will tell you, I think it's a tremendous drag on the economy. You look at, you know, it's what, so like 17, 18% of GDP now, where the court, we talk about trying to make this a more friendly environment for businesses to do business here. The healthcare costs are a huge drag and additional cost of hiring people in the United States. The corporate tax is about, 3 or 4%, I think, of GDP. So, you know, while we aren't focusing on getting healthcare costs down and having a more rational system that way, it just doesn't seem to be part of the debate. We get into this these power politics about Obamacare, but nobody really talks about getting the cost of healthcare down because we spend far more than any other country, and our results are not as good as most other developed countries.
Right. That to me seems like that should be the number one focus, because if you don't have healthy individuals walking, you know, around being able to work and contribute and then to be able to afford healthcare, have access to it, you've got nothing.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's costly for, it erodes wages too. So as employers have to spend more and more on health insurance premiums, that puts pressure on the amount of wages they can pay. And it's, you're right. I mean, it is a huge economic drag as well. You know, medical problems, conditions, and frequently they go hand in hand, especially in a recession. Financial distress will create health problems. And then typically people lose their jobs in a recession. And so then they have more prone to get sick. It's a vicious cycle. So those are really, I think, issues that are core to the vast majority of Americans. And it saddens me that we're not really tackling them perhaps as effectively as we could.
So if we could take a piece of that, which I want to talk maybe more on retirement, since that is your area of focus right now. A lot of us are arriving at retirement with very little, if anything, and we know that we're living longer, which is good news, but also bad news if you can't support yourself during those additional years. A lot of us want to take this new year as an opportunity to maybe reassess our savings plan. And what would be your recommendation for listeners? Like, I mean, yes, you can get your 401k managed more efficiently, but how do you actually produce the money to save more?
Well, it takes discipline. It really does. I mean, I think always automatic savings is always better than kind of, you know, making ad hoc decisions about whether you're going to save this month or not. So if you have certainly people who have employers who offer 401ks or 403bs, if it's an education institution and they have a match, you know, make contributions up to that match. It's crazy to leave that money on the table. So I say that would be number one. Number two, if you don't have an employer plan, then set up your own automatic savings program. You can most banks for minimal cost, hopefully zero cost, we'll do automatic transfers into savings accounts, and, you know, let that money accumulate a bit and then put it into an IRA or other investment, tax-protected investment vehicle. So, but I think the important thing is to make it automatic. Just, you know, every month, whether it's 10% out of your paycheck or whatever it is you can afford, take it out, put it someplace where you're not going to get at it. That really is the key to accumulating money over time. And if you do it that way, you will be surprised yourself how quickly it grows.
What's something you love to splurge on, Sheila? Is there something that you like to still treat yourself to money may not be the
option? Good question. Trips, probably travel. I love traveling with my family. My kids are both big travelers. So travel can be expensive. And we try to always, we're in frequent flyer programs and hotel programs as well. So we try to utilize all of those cost saving measures. But yeah, we do love to travel. It's a lot of fun. It's great family time, but it's a bit of an indulgence. It's definitely a want, not a need, but it certainly is something we find very rewarding and brings us closer together as a family.
What is one thing that you spend your money on that allows you to make for an easier life, a better life?
Well, at Bloom does. Get it back to the Bloom. I mean, I think, but that's an example of the kind of things, the more you can find a low cost way, people with other expertise to kind of help you manage areas that need to be watched, but you don't always have time to do. I think that is a good example. I realized I didn't do as good as a job as I should have in terms of checking my account and doing the research on fees and making sure I didn't, you know, as the stock market goes up, I didn't get overexposed. So hiring an expert to do that. And I am not, I hasten to add in all this, I am not an investment advisor. I certainly know a lot about finance and financial education, but I don't advise people on their investments. But I can just speak to what I do as a consumer. But I think it is a good example of a lot of us just don't have time to deal with this. And unfortunately, the fees are such that it can be time consuming to even find what the fees are, to dig into this prospectus and find the fees. So that's the kind of thing, whether it's Bloom or someone else, finding a service, an expert that can do that for you at a very low cost, I think is good. In more mundane responses to your question, cleaning ladies. I have the most wonderful cleaning
world. There we go.
And yes, I figured out a long time ago, it's not something I enjoy doing, not something I'm very good at doing. So I have a wonderful woman who helps me keep house. And that is, boy, is that money well spent. So yeah, there are things like that. For the most part, we do a lot of things ourselves for ourselves too. I think, you know, you can go a little too far in pampering yourself, and whether it's weeding your own garden or, you know, doing your own dishes or whatever, those are good things to stay in touch with those day-to-day activities that keeps you on even plane.
And I also think it keeps you away from online shopping when you're doing your own dishes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And I tell you, you know, we're Amazon Prime users, and it's just, I tell you, Amazon just makes it far too easy to spend money, very smartly so, but it's... The range of things that you can access now online is truly amazing. But we try to, especially books, we try to go to bookstores and retailers too, because I just think that's an important part of our economy we like to support. So we make sure we hit the streets and visit shops frequently as well.
I love it. Sheila Bear, thank you so much. It's been really great spending some time with you and catching up. And thank you for all the work that you have done for our country, that you continue to do for us. We'll be sure to check out Bloom with 3 O's, and wishing you a happy new year.
Thank you for news, you too.
Thanks so much to Sheila for coming on the show. Her Twitter handle is @SheilaBear2013. If you'd like to learn more about the robo-advisor for your 401k, Bloom, go to bloomwith3os.com. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Remember, it's very easy to get in touch. Go to somoneypodcast.com, sign up for the newsletter, click on Ask Farnoosh, send me a question there for the Friday episodes. And if you'd like to co-host, let me know there as well. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast.
They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15.